Jen Zamperali on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always. It's Relationship Therapy with Rachel Cook.
It's time for Relationship Therapy now, and this week we're going to talk about codependency, just because you might not have heard of it. Doesn't mean you're not living with it. So on the line now with all the answers, as always, is our resident sex and relationship therapist, Rachel Cook. Rachel, how are you?
Oh, how's it going, Lottie? Yeah, really good, thanks. And this is a fantastic topic. I've had lots of people asking about it. So we've got lots to get through, don't we?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just going to be brutally honest here. I'm not totally au fait with it. So can we just start with the basics in terms of what actually is codependency?
Yeah, absolutely. So codependency, some people will call it love addiction. Some people would see would differentiate those a little bit. But basically, it involves a pattern of someone prioritizing other people's needs over their own. So they're kind of compulsively attending to someone else and, you know, kind of neglecting their own life and well-being. So that's really what it is. So there's lots of kind of signs and symptoms of it, and there's lots of different ways that it can come out. But that's really what it is like massively prioritizing someone else, which usually ends up being a romantic partner and kind of really neglecting yourself and losing touch with yourself. So that's what it is.
So how would that happen to you? How would you get into a pattern of that? And is it something that would just happen when you get into a relationship, or is it something you might recognize in yourself growing up?
Yeah, so there's loads of different reasons for it. Some people would say it comes from having quite insecure attachment growing up. So it might be that you had, you know, parents that were doing their best, but they were very maybe emotionally neglectful, or they might have been struggling with their own anxiety or, you know, alcohol, you know, issues or whatever it might have been. And that might have led to you kind of learning growing up that you needed to be very focused on the other person, which, you know, growing up would have been your caregivers, in order to be able to kind of survive, really. You know, it's not a conscious thought process for a child, but it's basically learning to kind of overly tune into the other, because some people learn to overly tune out, let's say. So they might become much more self-focused, which can come out as maybe more narcissistic behaviors as an adult. But some of us learn to become much more focused on the other and kind of lose touch with ourselves. So that's often where it kind of comes from. But I would say, you know, there's a lot in our society. There's also a kind of feminist aspect to this, which is that a lot of society, certainly our society, says that we should be, you know, very much self-sufficient, self-reliant. We should be responsible for our own emotions. We should be independent. And, you know, what we're seeing is that, you know, there's lots of cultures around the world that are much more collectivist, that are very much about really relying on each other through the kind of different generations. So there's also a cultural aspect to this, I would say.
But then you mentioned there, like, kids witnessing their parents growing up, maybe certain behaviours. So it's not... Yeah. Does that mean it's not just romantic relationships that this happens in? Could it be friends? Could it be your pet? Could it be... Can you be codependent with anyone?
Yeah, so you can, for sure. It tends to come out most in romantic relationships. But again, I would say that's part of our society, because in our particular culture and society, you know, we massively prioritize one romantic partner, right? We tend to, as we, you know, kind of get older, you know, we might kind of co-share or, you know, cohabit with friends and stuff until a certain point where it's kind of expected on the relationship escalator that we will move in with our kind of monogamous romantic partner. We'll probably get married, have kids, but certainly that we'll cohabit. And so it's kind of more likely to happen with someone who you are very deeply involved with. But it doesn't have to be only that. There's certainly people who can be codependent with their, you know, a family member or with a work colleague, or absolutely with a pet, because, you know, we're really talking about this having become a sort of dysfunctional dynamic, let's say, where there can be aspects of it that might have been working really well to begin with. But then they start to become sort of compulsive.
But then, so say you're being codependent in the relationship, how would you know that you're being codependent and you're not just like babying your other half, or what's the difference there?
Yeah, so some people, you know, there you use the word babying, and I would say, you know, babying someone doesn't necessarily mean you're codependent, but it can certainly be a sign of it. So you're going to see these patterns, like it might be that you feel like you can't live without the other person, you know, that the other person is so important to you that you even have to kind of hide your real thoughts and feelings because you need to make sure that they like and approve of you. You know, you're probably going to have a lot of fear of rejection and abandonment. You're afraid that the other person's going to leave you, even if that's not a romantic partner. So a lot of what you do in the relationship will be geared towards making sure the other person doesn't leave. You're probably not going to have much outside support, so you're relying probably almost entirely or completely on one person for your emotional needs, and you might not have, you know, much of a social circle outside of that. It might also mean, you know, generally you will have a very poor sense of self. You know, you feel like your personality depends on the other person. You maybe don't really know what you actually like or who you really are because your focus is so much on the other person and what they like or dislike. And so, yeah, there's going to be that. You're probably going to have a lot of difficulty with boundaries, making decisions. You probably apologize to keep the peace, or you take the blame for things that aren't your fault because you're really wanting to avoid conflict. So,
see, I'd,
you know,
say
again,
there's a lot of people who are going, yeah, I tick a couple of those boxes, all right.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, this is another thing that I think part of this is to do with how our society is set up, where often we do become very, very reliant on our one romantic partner. And, you know, often we're spending most of our time working in order to be able to live, trying to maybe maintain, you know, some, you know, going to the gym or some kind of exercise or hobby. You know, and we don't have that much time left over for friends and family as well as a romantic partner. So it can mean that, you know, our life setup ends up leading to kind of us being encouraged to be more codependent with one person. But obviously, as you can see from that, you know, there's aspects of it that can be, you know, quite dangerous and like just very unfulfilling, and can mean that you're having a very like unsatisfying, unrewarding kind of experience of your life because you're kind of just fixated on one person and forgetting about yourself and the rest of your life.
So I know it's obviously not a clinical diagnosis or like formally categorized, yeah, but is it considered to be overall as something negative, that codependency is a very negative personality trait?
Yeah, so it's a style of relating that is not functional or particularly sustainable. So let's say the difference between that and something like interdependence is recognizing that, like, you know, we are social creatures. We have absolutely evolved to be living in community. You know, sometimes we can thrive in being in kind of either living alone or, you know, in sort of very small nuclear setups. But for the vast majority of people, we're lonely. We know that there's a massive epidemic of loneliness, people, you know, kind of getting into parasocial relationships, as we were talking about before, or, you know, just kind of being stuck on their screens because we don't have the skills or the resources or the capacity or the time to be engaging with other people. So, you know, codependency is talking about something that is, you know, kind of dysfunctional, let's say. And so, the positive side of that would be like recognizing interdependence and having very rich kind of community and friendships and varied sort of social life.
So what if I recognize some of those traits in a friend,
yeah,
and her relationship or his relationship? How would you deal with something like that? Because I would imagine a lot of people who are dealing with codependency might not see it in themselves.
No, absolutely right. People rarely will, because they're often, you know, people are often very chronically kind of dysregulated and stressed in the relationship as well, particularly because if they're focusing solely on one person, it can mean that they're, you know, kind of hyper aware of any change in that other person's mood. You know, two people can be, they can sometimes be codependent with each other, where you might have two people that are very much, you know, very compulsively fixated on the other and the other's needs. But you can also have it where one person is the person who's fixated on the other, and the other person is much more, let's say, self-absorbed, self-focused, even maybe highly narcissistic.
And can that last?
And so, yeah. So it's very common that you'll have like a very codependent person and a narcissistic person, because they kind of meet each other's needs in a way, right? The codependent is focused totally on the narcissistic person, and the narcissistic person is able to focus on themselves. That's common too. But so if you notice it,
if you notice it in someone, that's what I'm wondering. If people think, you know what, I think I have a friend who is maybe struggling with that. Is there a way for people to reach out and help?
Yeah, I think probably, you know, it's generally doesn't work well if what you say is your relationship seems dysfunctional. Well, you know, your partner's controlling you, or you seem to be too obsessed with them. You know, they're just going to become defensive and shut down. But what you can say is, oh, I'm noticing that you seem quite engaged in what's going on for your partner. And I'm wondering what's happening for you. How are your other, you know, kind of relationships in your life, your friendships? You know, where do you feel supported, and where do you get to feel like you have a life outside of the relationship? You know, that kind of asking gentle questions, and kind of being open to the person, not necessarily instantly going, oh my God, I've just realized I'm in a codependent relationship and what's going on? I need to sort this out.
Yeah, not passing judgment, basically.
No, exactly. But asking gentle questions and just reflecting back when the person talks about how constantly stressed they are, or about how they don't have support, or they don't have friends, or that they're really down about the fact that their partner is maybe anxious or depressed or something like that. You know, of course it's common and natural to be concerned if your partner is not doing well. But when someone is kind of, you know, neglecting their own life because they're just so caught up in their partner,
fixated,
then you can be reflecting that back to them for sure.
And then what if there's somebody listening who, after they're hearing you talk about this, they're thinking, Jesus, maybe I need to take a look at myself. I think that sounds like the kind of behaviours that I'm going through and I'm not really happy about it anymore. How can you heal or recover from it then?
Yeah, so it's usually through getting more support, right? Because a lot of codependency is about the fact that we become fixated on one person to meet all of our, you know, kind of emotional needs, let's say, or most of them. And so it's usually expanding your circle. And, you know, often if you're finding that that has been a long-term pattern, then, you know, therapy is certainly probably going to be the easiest way to begin to get that kind of, you know, a support that, you know, where the person is really knowledgeable and aware and has experience with working with that. And then also, I suppose you'd also want to kind of look at where you are in your life, because, you know, for instance, some therapists won't call relationships codependent if it's in the first 6 to 12 months of that romantic relationship, because it's very common that we become very merged and sort of, you know, we're in the honeymoon period with each other. We, you know, dream about the other person, think about them. That's also just a very common thing. It doesn't happen to everyone, obviously, but that's very common in the first few weeks, months, and maybe even up to a year or two of a relationship. So if you've just met someone, obviously, if you're finding that you're completely neglecting the rest of your life and, you know, barely managing to go to work or to spend any time with your friends or family, then that's an issue. But, you know, there's nothing, it's also quite normal to be, you know, quite engaged with your partner when that's a new relationship. So it's more about, you know, recognizing whether that's impacting, you know, negatively impacting other parts of your life.
Yeah, I think it's a lesson in general that a lot of people could probably just abide by, just taking more time for yourself, maybe finding what activities did you used to enjoy, take a class back up, do a Pilates or a yoga class, or go for a walk, and just doing things for yourself that are only important to you, so as you're kind of owning your own personality back.
Yeah, and you're doing that in a way that doesn't have to mean becoming more and more sort of isolated, atomized, individualist. You know, it doesn't have to mean, like, doing things for yourself doesn't have to mean always doing them on your own. Now, obviously, if there's an issue of you feeling like you can never spend time yourself because you feel so anxious about, you know, your own thoughts and feelings, then that is a problem. But I think there's often this idea about self-care that what it means is having to, you know, do everything just for ourselves and prioritize ourselves and our boundaries and our needs, when actually, you know, we're talking more about this interdependence, where of course there's going to be some people who want to do some activities on their own and love getting away, especially if you have, you know, kids or you're living with a partner or other people. It can be great to take time for yourself, but we're also, you know, need to recognize that, like, the glue of a lot of our society is in being able to have relationships with each other, and ideally that those are kind of rewarding and fulfilling, but recognizing that, you know, sometimes there's going to be sticky parts to that, and we need to have, there's going to be conflict, but being able to have the skills to be, you know, in relationship with lots of other people.
Well, Rachel, it's always an education. Thank you so much for joining me to talk all about codependency. That is Rachel Cook, a psychotherapist and mental health consultant. She is, of course, on Instagram if you want to check her out. The handle is at Rachel Jane Cook. And she will be back with Jen next week to talk about jealousy. We'll be back right after this.
Jen Zamparelli on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.